The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I submitted a horrible, horrible, horrible draft that I'd written 15, 20 years ago. And I'd gotten some feedback and my suspicions were brought to life. It's like, yep, this is absolutely terrible, but you've got a good voice and you should write what you know. So I wrote the first chapter of The Violin Conspiracy during the summer of 2020. And it was picked up, and I wrote every day during 2020 because, you know, I wasn't practicing for anything and I really had not much to look forward to. So writing, I turned full time to writing. I wrote every day, 2,500 to 3,000 words every day for 2.5 months, and the book was done.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your humble host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance per usual. Violinist and lauded debut novelist Brendan Slocum spoke to me about how both music and writing saved his life, the darker side of the classical music world, and his debut, The Violin Conspiracy. Brendan's an accomplished violinist and concertmaster who has performed with major symphonies, has a degree in music education, and over 25 years teaching in the classroom and his private studio. His critically acclaimed debut novel, The Violin Conspiracy, has been described as part mystery thriller, part character study of a young Black man trying to make his way in the world of classical music. It was a JMA Book Club pick and named a Publishers Weekly Top 10 Mystery Thriller, NPR's Books We Love 2022, Audible's 13 Best Debuts of 2022, and earned 2 Goodreads Choice Award nominations for Best Debut Novel and Best Mystery Thriller. Publishers Weekly called the book a gripping debut. Slocum sensitively portrays Ray's resilience in the face of extreme racism. The author is off to a promising start. Brendan hosts the podcast How Music Can Save Your Life, is a Nobel Teacher of Distinction, and serves as an educational consultant for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. In this file, Brendan and I discussed how he finds time to tour, write, practice for his string quartet, and teach students for an upcoming recital, why the pandemic forced him to become a prolific novelist, what it's like to sign your first paperback for a fan, the importance of practice, routine, and banging out 3,000 words a day, why writers need to walk, stretch, and hit the gym, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates, get links to merch, and other resources for writers. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. All right, we are back on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by the lauded author, debut novelist of The Violin Conspiracy. We've got Brendan Slocum here today. Thank you for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so I understand that you grew up in North Carolina. Are you still in the North Carolina area?
I actually live in Washington, D.C. now.
Okay. Not too far.
Nah, not too far.
And yeah, I guess you're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. I want to talk about all things writing and, of course, the debut and, of course, your upcoming. release. But yeah, tell us a little bit about what you're up to lately. I understand you're kind of like on tour and doing some promotional stuff.
Yeah, I am. It's an interesting balance of everything that's going on. I've been on tour for a very long time, and I love every second of it. I'm getting to meet such incredible people and go to amazing festivals and just, I mean, the people that I've come in contact with, it's incredible. And I'm trying to balance practicing my violin with my string quartet and teaching my students who have a recital coming up in a couple of weeks, and writing in there. I'm trying to get it all, make it all work. And it's been a challenge, but you know, I'm doing my best.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I can't wait to talk about how you do it. And I mean, I even understand that you also have a rock band. Is that?
Yeah, I do. I'm in a band called Geppetto's Wood. Think whatever you want about the title. It's totally accurate. We haven't been able to do very much since the pandemic. I actually got together with the guys. I was in Los Angeles at the LA Book Festival. And we got together and we had a great rehearsal and it was a lot of fun. And yeah, we all miss it and we can't wait to get back to it.
Yeah. And Wood is spelled W-U-D with the
with the umlaut. Yeah. Gotta keep it classy. Keep it classy.
Well, that's very cool. But I want to talk about your kind of path to lauded debut novelist. But, you know, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Congrats on the Violent Conspiracy, because you kind of can't miss it right now. It seems like it's being promoted in a lot of places. I understand that not only was it nominated for a couple Goodreads Choice Awards, right? Best Debut and Best Mystery Thriller. It was also recently named to, I think, Washington Post's gift guide.
Yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely crazy. And I opened my Instagram this morning and I see it's one of Audible's best books of 22. And, you know, I am flipping out. I flip out every single day. Every day I wake up and I kind of have to pinch myself. I'm like, yeah, this is real. This is really happening. And it's amazing. And I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah. Congrats. Congrats on the reception. And
thank you.
But yeah, tell us a little bit about before the genesis of the actual novel. Tell us a little bit about your career as a professional musician and instructor. Of course, you've mentioned that you are currently practicing for a string quartet and you are instructing students. You know, I want to figure out how you get the pages in the margins. But at the same time, yeah, tell us a little bit about this 20 plus year career as a professional musician and instructor.
Well, I spent most of my time in the classroom. I've been a band director, a strings instructor, a guitar teacher, a general music teacher. My heart lies with teaching strings. You know, I'm an orchestra director at heart, but most of my 25 years in the classroom was dedicated to teaching. And in that time, you know, I have kept up my violin playing, and I've played with symphonies, major symphonies, you know, and I've been a soloist. I've done string quartet stuff, small ensembles, you know, and I will do freelance work as well. But like summer of 2020, we all remember 2020. It was just a mess. And for a working musician, it was extra, extra jacked up because everything stopped. My entire revenue stream just stopped. I had no idea when I was going to play my next gig or teach my next lesson. And, you know, Zoom comes along and it's like, okay, well, that's a Band-Aid, but it's not really giving you what you need in terms of, you know, being a musician working. So the uncertainty was crazy. And, I as I was sitting on the couch getting fatter and fatter, I discovered an advertisement online for selling books in the age of COVID. And I submitted a horrible, horrible, horrible draft that I'd written 15, 20 years ago. And I'd gotten some feedback and my suspicions were brought to life. It's like, yep, this is absolutely terrible, but you've got a good voice and you should write what you know. And it's not science fiction. So I wrote the first chapter of The Violin Conspiracy during the summer of 2020. And it was picked up and I wrote every day during 2020 because, you know, I wasn't practicing for anything and I really had not much to look forward to. So writing, I turned full time to writing. I wrote every day, 2,500 to 3,000 words every day for 2.5 months, and the book was done.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's such a cool story. So really, it gave you the opportunity to kind of focus on another creative outlet.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas much of your life had been focused on music. Had you composed music? Had you written music?
Nothing classical. I'm the songwriter for our band, Geppetto's Wood, and I've written all of our songs. But, you know, there's only so much you could do with that. And I used a lot of my orchestral experience formulating the songs and everything. So that was fun. But that was the extent of my writing. You know, I was just a songwriter. And, I was happy with some of the things that I've written, but, you know, nothing compared to, you know, the Violin Conspiracy is just like, you know, day and night.
So, well, I understand that there is a semi-autobiographical piece in your Suspense, but yeah, talk a little bit about that and kind of, again, like how you, as you put it, are really leaning on writing what you know and kind of also shining a light on some of the, I don't think of like the classical music world as like a terribly transparent one. It seems to be, you know, it's kind of, it seems like a little secretive in a sense, but you know, I could be wrong. Like I, of course I'm not an insider and you are a complete insider. So it's kind of interesting that you are using your life experience to kind of shine a light on some of the inherent, the darker sides or kind of some of the inequity in that classical music world.
Yeah. I like how you put it, the darker side. That's that works on so many levels. it was very eye-opening for a lot of people. And as I was writing this stuff, you know, I wasn't trying to, you know, make this gigantic point that classical music, there's this inherent racism in classical music. And, you know, it's a lot tougher for Black people. I wasn't trying to do that. I was just telling basically my story. And 92% of Ray, the protagonist in the Violin Conspiracy, is based on Brendan. The 8% that's not me is Ray going to the Tchaikovsky competition. Had I started playing when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, I would be at that level. But I was an old man when I started. I was at the ripe old age of 9. So that was way, way, way too late for me to, you know, and I never had lessons until my first lesson was in college. So, you know, I was a latecomer to the game. But, you know, the instances and experiences that I had are very common, oddly enough, in classical music for people who look like me. And I've heard from so many people that exact same thing happened to me. And, you know, when I would say this to people, they wouldn't believe it, or they would think that I'm exaggerating. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I hear that story regularly. That was, you know, when things were going on and I was having these experiences, my friends would always, it was always me, you know, it was never, well, no, it's not really like that, because it wasn't like that for them, but it was always like that for me. And, you know, being a Black guy playing violin, there were not very many of us. I was the only one in our studio, in my violin studio. Matter of fact, I think I was the only Black man playing violin in my symphony orchestra while I was there. It was, you know, that's just how it was.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, again, congratulations. And it does seem like you're having some fun there. Of course, I'll point at your home base, and that link is brendanslocum.com. You're on all the socials, and I was spinning through your Instagram, and it looks like you're having a good time out there.
I hope so. There's a ton of work involved. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I'm. And all of my former students know this. They know I love to have a good time. After our work is done, we get our work done, we can have a blast, we just knock ourselves out having fun. And going around meeting people and, you know, talking about this book and, you know, talking about my life's experience, it has been the most fun that I've had in decades. It is so much fun. And just meeting these people is incredible. You know, I've gotten to travel all over this country, and you know, these book festivals that I had no idea even existed, they're huge, and they're so much fun, and the people are amazing. And it's been, you know, and just imagine how terrible it must be for me to have to spend a weekend in Miami, you know, when it's 20 degrees here in DC and I have to go down to 80 degrees in my, oh my gosh, the sacrifices I make, it's terrible.
Oh yeah, for sure. Sounds awful. Well, congrats again. The book is coming out in paperback, right? Next week, I believe.
Yes. Yes. I actually signed for I was at the Miami Book Festival this past, you know, in November, and I got an advanced copy of the paperback, and they were selling them there, and I got to sign the very first copy of the paperback to this wonderful supportive fan. And you know, she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Yeah, this is the first one. I know, it's great. Congratulations. And you know, can I take your picture? This is awesome. So it's been amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. And I mean, this wall of blurbs is really cool. Of course, I'll point at the book, The Violin Conspiracy, part mystery thriller, part character study of a young Black man trying to make his way in the world of classical music. And of course, you know, there is a lot more going on than that. Of course, we don't do any spoilers on this show, but I wanted to pick out a couple of blurbs. I thought, you know, the New York Times said, such a page-turner, a musical Bildungsroman, cleverly contained within a literary thriller. Slocum isn't too different from his protagonist, a natural. And I thought the Washington Post had another nice blurb. The Violin Conspiracy is so wonderfully written, especially its descriptions of music, that at times I questioned whether I was reading or listening to a concert. I thought that was some high praise.
I was so happy to hear that. You know, it's just the fact that one person liked it. That's all I wanted. Seriously. Like when I hit the last period, I just wanted one person to like it. And if one person liked it, I was like, yep, you know what? Mission accomplished. It's been fantastic. And as I was writing, you know, like the descriptions of the music and everything initially, you know, I'm a musician. So everything that I said made perfect sense to me. And I was using very technical terms. Mm-hmm. And I would let someone who wasn't a musician read it. And there was, I don't know what this is. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, it needs a lot more imagery and a lot more descriptive features about this music. How do I feel when I'm playing music or when I'm listening to music? This is how I feel. So I wanted to give non-musicians and musicians alike the opportunity to experience what it is like for us as musicians to, you know, play this beautiful music, not only play it, but you know, give it to other people. And so I was really, really focused on the descriptions of how to make people feel what it is that I feel when I play.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did you, while you were writing the book, and you said you were getting like 2,500 to 3,500 words a day, which is really a feat, but were you listening to music? I'm just out of curiosity.
You know, I get asked that quite often, and it's a blessing and a curse being a musician. I can't, especially classical music, I can't listen to classical music while I'm doing anything. It's too distracting to me because I'm constantly analyzing it, and I'm trying to work on just enjoying the beauty of the music, but there's always, especially if it's like from one of my favorite composers is Antonín Dvořák, who's a Czech composer, and you know, I'll listen to his stuff and I love his music so much, I'll be writing and one of his symphonies will come on and I'll just stop and listen. I'm like, you know what, we need more violin there, the violas are a little bit flat there, can we have more oboe in this spot? And I'm constantly doing that. So I just turn the radio off, and believe it or not, and I've said this to people, and I don't think people believe me when I say it, but I actually watch reruns of Three's Company and Alice. And I know I'm dating myself because those are really old shows, but yeah, I have them on in the background, and that's basically what I listen to when I'm writing.
That's amazing. Three's Company and Alice. Alice is a show that I remember is about a diner. Is that right?
Yeah. Mel's Diner. Yeah.
Mel's Diner. That's right. And these kind of these embattled waitresses.
Oh man, I'm dating myself.
That's
really
good
old
stuff. Very funny. Well, talk a little bit about, again, kind of like your best writing day. Is your best writing day, you know, a day when you get up early in the morning, brew a pot of coffee, and then just hit it? Or are you somebody who, you know, needs to like warm up, do some scales first, that kind of thing?
All right. So my best writing day is any day that I can get to my computer and write. That's a good day as far as I'm concerned. But my process, I'm not a coffee guy. I've never been one to get up and have coffee. It's always orange juice for me. And anyone who has read the first chapter of The Violent Conspiracy is like, oh, this guy drinks orange juice a lot. He stays away from coffee. Yeah, that's me. And I am accustomed to, you know, when I was in college, I would practice for 3.5 hours every day. And I would maybe take one day off. My lessons were on Monday. So I would always, you know, I'd go to my lesson on Monday and take the rest of the day off. But every other day, 6 days a week, I would practice for 3.5 hours, and that was routine. And I'm accustomed to sitting down and just, you know, doing it. If I have a performance to prepare for, you know, that's what you do. You just sit down and practice. So it wasn't difficult for me to just block out a couple of hours of time to just write. I'm so accustomed to doing that. So I would knock that out every day. And then first I would go and teach. First I'd get up and go to the gym, then I would go and teach, and then I would come back and write. And that was my day. And if I had time afterward, if it wasn't too late, I would practice a little bit. And that's basically how I would do it every day. That was my routine. I had enough discipline through my musical training to be able to do that.
That's very cool. I mean, it does seem that that inherent discipline would give you that kind of leg up there. Yeah, I'm kind of curious at times about the neurobiological effect of like exercise, or, you know, so many famous writers would walk to kind of clear their head before a writing session. And, you know, I don't know what performance enhancing drugs they use in the classical music world, but
I can give you a list.
I'd be super curious. But I mean, do you feel like that the exercise, because, you know, I find that's very important to kind of clearing the head. And, you know, I'm somebody who'll get up and just go on a run and then do, you know, like my stretching and, you know, some resistance training before I can do anything really a lot of times. But yeah, talk a little bit about the idea that would improve your performance in whatever you're doing.
I, you know, personally, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but yeah, I'm the same way. If I don't hit the gym, it's like something is missing. It's like I'm not fully present unless I've given myself, my body, that time to, you know, get what it needs. And you know, your bodies need to be worked. We need to exercise. And it really does clear your head. And it's a good way to start, you know, because you know you're at a definitive starting point. This is what I'm doing today. And, you know, once I get done with that, now I can continue with everything else. And it really does clear your head and just makes you feel good. And if you feel good about what it is that you're doing and feel good about yourself, it's just going to make everything that much better. And I can definitely tell when there are days, if I'm writing, that I've not, you know, I didn't have time to work out today, or I got up late or whatever, it shows. And, you know, I'll end up going back and rewriting a lot or scrapping something. So I try to make sure that I keep to that routine. And, you know, the clearing of the mind is really, really important. I'm not saying that as a writer, but I'm just saying that as, you know, as a musician, first and foremost, you know, we need that. We need to take care of our bodies. And, you know, if you don't have your health and a good body, you have nothing, basically.
Yeah. We'll talk about that because, you know, I mean, similarly, I think, you know, writers can get some pretty bad posture, or, you know, lower back, or, you know, I tend to hold some tension in my like shoulders and that area. But yeah, I mean, as a musician, you know, being kind of forced to be in that same position for hours at a time. Talk a little bit about, you know, again, how musicians and writers alike can kind of offset some of these.
Oh, you know, I learned early on, you know, injury. Let's call it what it is. You know, if you overdo anything, you're liable to get injured. And, you know, I had my share of injuries when I was practicing 3.5 hours every day. You know, tendonitis is real and it hurts. And, you know, if you hurt yourself, you can't do anything. So it's really important to take care of yourself. And as I'm writing, I jokingly say this, but this is honestly what I do. I start on my couch, just laid out on my couch with the computer on my stomach, and then my feet go up on the top of the couch, and then I sit up. And this is like, you know, 45 minutes. I'm in one position for 45 minutes, and then I will get up and go to my office and sit down and write. And that's how I finish up. That I never stay in the same position. I'm always shifting. You know, you have to kind of give your body a break. And I'm well aware when my body needs a break, and I listen to it. You know, when you're young, you can kind of get away with stuff, but I'm not young. So I need to definitely listen to what my body is saying. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, all right, I'm good.
All right. So back to performance enhancing drugs in the classical music world. Just out of curiosity.
I'm going to get in trouble if I like spill all okay. the secrets. All right. I'll tell you off air. How's that?
Okay. We'll go off the record. Well, again, congratulations on all the success of your debut. And I understand that your next book is coming out pretty soon. I mean, it's going to be published April 2023, I believe.
April. Yeah. It's huge. It's here. It's like coming. It's, just the fact that I've written The Violin Conspiracy, I wrote that in 2020, and just, you know, people are like, oh, you're working on something. I was like, yeah, I finished that book like 5-6 months ago. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, you know, I learned a lot about the publishing process, the whole editing process and everything. It takes a little while, you know, there's so much detail that goes into it. And when I finished writing, the second book is called Symphony of Secrets. And, you know, I get asked quite often, is it a continuation of The Violent Conspiracy? Is there a part two? No, I think Ray's story in The Violent Conspiracy is done for right now. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't go back and write another Ray story, but for right now it's done. But I was told that I created a new genre, musical thrillers. I'll take it. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to take it. If there's a musical thriller, I wrote it. I want to see that up in a bookstore someplace. But like for the second book, Symphony of Secrets, the main character is actually mentioned in the final chapter of The Violin Conspiracy. Mm. And I'm going to try to do a thing with my subsequent books that there will be a mention at least of a previous character from this series of books. And so people can kind of follow along and remain in this universe. And I hope people get a kick out of it. And I'm really excited about Symphony of Secrets. It is a great, great, great story. And I love it. I can't say enough about it. I absolutely love it. So different from The Violent Conspiracy, yet the themes that it tackles are very relevant, very, very, very important. And, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate.
100%. Yeah. I was reading the manifest on that one, and I'm really interested to get a hold of it. So hopefully you'll come back and chat with us again.
Dude, if you invite me, I'm here.
Okay. Well, the invitation is extended. Can't wait to check that one out. So for sure, we will point at your home base there. And of course, the book, The Violin Conspiracy. I thought Gary Steingart's blurb was really cool, too. That was cool to see. He said, finally, classical music gets the complex treatment it deserves, a wide-eyed look at the art form and its discontents. Yeah, before we wrap up here with your advice to kind of like aspiring writers, I got a fun one for you. If you could have dinner to anywhere in the world with any author from any era, who would you take and where would you take them? All expenses.
Dude, I thought this was supposed to be like a fun, easy question. How is that easy? Jeez. Oh my gosh.
It could be a composer too. I mean, it could be really anybody. Hero.
Okay. I'm going to do two. I'm going to do a composer and a writer. I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan. And I love all of her stuff. When I read Murder on the Orient Express, I was actually pissed because I couldn't figure out who did it. And I was, you know, I was a kid. I was a teenager when I read it. And I recently discovered, you know, before I started writing Violent Conspiracy, that she actually, I took a page out of her book. She would write the entire story and then go back and say, all right, I'm going to make this person the villain. This is going to be the person that did it. I'm like, how do you do that? So that's exactly what I did in The Violent Conspiracy. It was written. And then I was like, yep, I'm going to make this person, you know, the culprit. And so I would love to just talk and pick her brain and just listen to anything that she had to say, if I could do that. And music wise, I would, that's a tough one. My two favorite composers are, I mentioned earlier, Antonin Dvorak, a Czech composer, and Antonio Vivaldi, who's an Italian composer. You know, he wrote The Four Seasons that everyone has heard all the time, everywhere, every day. Two of my absolute favorite composers. I'd love to just, you know, just be in their presence and just, you know, I started playing the violin because of Vivaldi. You know, I love his music so much. It's violin music. And Dvorak, everything that he wrote is incredibly passionate. And you can tell it comes from his heart. And you feel it not only when you play it, but you listen to it. And you know, just being around someone who's just so into it like that, it motivates you. And I'm getting all excited now. I'm sorry about that.
I love it.
I need to settle down.
All right, where are we going? Where are we hanging out?
Dude, you tell me. I'm there.
Oh, okay. How about Balthazar? Wait, is that New York City?
No. I think that's New York. Okay. I don't know. Let me see. I would probably go to Italy, someplace in Italy. Why not? Because, you know,
somewhere on the coast.
Yeah. There's beaches. The music is fantastic. You know, it's the birthplace of my favorite composer. So, you know, Vivaldi is there. We could hang out and eat, you know, and just have some spaghetti or something. I don't know.
Yes, of course. In Italy, you have to have the spaghetti.
You have to.
I love it. All right. Well, we appreciate your time and your wisdom. If you could just leave us with one pearl of wisdom on just kind of how to persevere during the tough times, because, you know, really, you kind of embody that sentiment. What would you offer to aspiring writers?
Oh, that's nice of you to say, dude. I would say to aspiring writers, write what you know, write often, write honestly, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Use the negativity from people who say you can't, you won't ever, use that as your fuel. Never, ever, ever give up. When it gets tough, you get tougher. Never give up. Never.
God, I love that. Gave me chills. But we appreciate you, Brendan, and best of luck with everything. Enjoy your whirlwind tour of the world on the book tours, plural, because, you know, they never end, apparently.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to talking to you again. This was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue this conversation. I got lots more to pick your brain about. So again, thank you very much, and we will talk soon.
Winner. Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us for this file. And if you're a fan of the show, simply head over to writerfiles.fm for more. That's writerfiles.fm. And scene. We did it.
Painless.
Wait, I'm going to hit stop. And then you have to tell me the...